State uses a strong second half, a 43-14 second half for the Wildcats as they pull away and finish strong.
K-State women, I've been saying, those that have been whining about them being in the top 10, that if they just win a few more games, I think they'll be in the top 10. And boy, the way they played last night, they look like a top 10 team, no question about it, as the 11th-ranked K-State women's basketball team moved to 2-0 in the Big 12, 14-1 overall, 72-38 win over Houston last night, Manhattan. They had some turnover issues first half, but then absolutely blew it open, a 20-0 run. In the second half, outscored them 43-14. In the second half, Ayoka Lee, another double-double, 27 points, 11 rebounds. And K-State women are now 14-1. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. We got our Athlete of the Week coming up. Also, the NFL announced their Pro Bowl selections. We'll go through who made it for the Chiefs and those that were snubbed. Also, the Chiefs approach to their game against the Chargers coming up on Sunday. Big shocker, Patrick Mahomes is not going to play. But will Travis Kelce play? We'll address that. And Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, will be with us. Well, we have more basketball for you as we are going to wear Dusty out here early in 2024.
Yeah, high school hoops tonight as we continue action on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. St. John's Tipton is on the road in Solana tonight to take on the Sacred Heart Knights. So we'll have those contests for you here on Katy Country 94. In the girls' game, we'll start with that first. St. John's Tipton is 3-3, and Sacred Heart is coming in 3-4. They lost their home opener on Tuesday. It was their first home game of the season there here in January against Minneapolis, so they're coming in off of a loss. St. John's Tipton lost their final game before the break to Clifton Clyde. St. John's Tipton coach Leah Bergman talking about the matchup with Sacred Heart here tonight and what she expects to see.
They're going to be a tough physical team, and hopefully we can come out. You know, being the first one after break is a little scary. The girls went back to school Wednesday, and then to have a game on Thursday as a coach makes you stay up at night. But, you know, we're going to come out and play our best and work hard. And that's what I expect, and hopefully we can hit some shots as well, and we can come out with a win.
Really expecting a tight girls game there, as long as both teams can stay out of foul trouble and be at their max capability. We'll see how that plays out tonight. St. John's Tipton again 3-3, Sacred Heart 3-4 coming into this game here tonight. On the boys' side, we'll follow as St. John's Tipton is 4-2, Sacred Heart 7-0. They opened out the second semester with a big win over Minneapolis there on Tuesday, and they're ranked number 10 in Class 2A in the KBCA rankings going into the break. Blue Jays coach Lance Bergman has some keys for his squad as they try to pick up a win or at least be competitive tonight with Sacred Heart on the road.
If we can just keep them frustrated, keep them from transitioning, getting easy baskets, keep them away from the basket, and then not leave them open for wide open threes. If they're shooting the ball well, their level of intensity increases significantly. I know we're going to turn the ball over more than I like. I even told the kids that. I said, I'm not going to be upset about turnovers. What I'm going to be upset is if we're not putting forth the effort we need to and, you know, leaving it all out on the floor and just getting aggressive.
So again, St. John's Tipton boys coming in at 4-2, Sacred Heart 7-0. The Knights obviously on their home floor favorite here in this one tonight. But as you heard Coach Bergman, he wants his team to play with the right mentality, and they did that against Clifton Clyde going into the break. So we'll see if they can keep that. You know, they didn't win that game, but they played a pretty solid game and left it all out on the court, and that's what he's hoping for tonight. We'll have coverage for St. John's Tipton at Sacred Heart pregame at 5:50 on Katy Country 94. Girls tip off at 6 o'clock, and the boys' game will follow. You can catch the games online as well at katycountry94.com here tonight. Prior to our high school basketball play-by-play, we'll have our high school basketball locker room chats. We have more of an in-depth preview of St. John's Tipton against Sacred Heart on those locker room chats, and we'll also talk with the coaches of Lakeside and Rock Hills this evening around 5:15 on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. You can always catch everything on our Katy Country 94 app on your smartphone as well. So that's a look at what is going on in high school hoops here today. Also, in local sports, Beloit senior Christian Mears has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Mears had an outstanding campaign on the football field in 2023, excelling in special teams as a kick returner. He was named a Kansas Football Coaches Association All-State returner in Class 3A for his efforts. Mears' latest honor was being selected to play in the Blue-Gray All-American Bowl. The high school All-Star event will take place Monday, January 8th, this Monday at 1 o'clock at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Mears is one of seven Kansas players actually on the East squad, and more info on the game can be found at bluegrayfootball.com. Gray is spelled with an E, so blue, G-R-E-Y. football.com. His selection is well warranted, as he had 251 yards on five kickoff returns this fall. Had three straight weeks where he returned a kick for a touchdown as well against Russell, Phillipsburg, and Concordia. And he was also an honorable mention defensive back pick in the North Central Activities Association with 47 tackles, including five for loss, an interception, and a fumble recovery in his senior season. So congratulations to Christian Mears on being selected our Athlete of the Week, and also his selection for the Blue-Gray All-American Bowl coming up on Monday. They'll go this weekend and take part in all the festivities and play the game Monday afternoon. So again, nckisports.com for that story and all the latest in local sports in North Central Kansas.
All right, we're returning 30 seconds. It's time to talk some Chiefs football. And then Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will be on the way.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiever Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
You have a couple guys who are close to like milestones or incentives. Is that a priority this week, getting those guys in those numbers?
Yeah, it depends. You know, depends on what the milestone is.
Let's say it's an eighth straight 1,000-yard season.
We'll see how that light goes.
Do they have what's the conversation like when you have those?
Probably one-sided.
Andy Reid, of course, they're referring to Travis Kelce, who is 16 yards away from hitting 1,000 on the season for the eighth straight year. And it was announced yesterday that Blaine Gabbert will be your starting quarterback on Sunday against the Chargers, as the Chiefs have wrapped up the 3 seed. Can't do any better than that. Can't do any worse. There's no point in playing Patrick Mahomes. And really, the only reason to play Travis Kelce is to get him 16 yards to 1,000. Otherwise, there's no point in playing Travis Kelce. Some people argue there's no point no matter what. We'll see how Andy Reid and the Chiefs handle it. Blaine Gabbert, who is going to be the starting quarterback with the Chiefs on Sunday against the Chargers, and he hasn't had any snaps this year that I can recall. And if so, it was there wasn't much of one, but much of anything that he played. I don't think he's played one snap.
I don't think during the regular season he has.
Because the Chiefs haven't blown anybody out to where he could come in late, I don't think. And that would be good for Gabbert to get some snaps in case something would happen. Uh-huh. We've seen in the playoffs where Chad Henne had to come in and save the day a couple times. Last year, that long drive against the Jaguars, and then, of course, a few years ago against the Browns. So, you know, it's a possibility that having this game to where they don't have to win it, they can rest their star players, gives Gabbert and some other players opportunities. And Gabbert said yesterday that Justin Ross, Kadarius Toney, and Mecole Hardman are going to play a lot. So we're going to see a lot of those three wide receivers. And you may be saying, oh, no, I don't want to see more Kadarius Toney. Well, the game doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So perhaps he could get his confidence back and maybe figure out how to catch the football. Justin Ross getting opportunities would be great. Mecole Hardman's got to be rusty after sitting out 4 games, and he just came back last week, didn't play a lot. Yesterday we were talking about, you know, who do you want to see at Arrowhead and what team you want to avoid? And the consensus was you wanted to avoid the Bills, although Dusty and I are not nearly as afraid of the Bills as a lot of Chiefs fans are. Charles Amenihu said yesterday he doesn't care which team's coming to Arrowhead. He said, and I quote, "It's the playoffs. If you're hoping and wishing for a certain type of team, you're already messed up." I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 1,000% with him on that. Absolutely. And the Chiefs have some Pro Bowlers we'll get to in a moment. Here's the injury report. Don't freak out about any of these here because they have to list them, and these guys aren't going to play on Sunday anyway, I am pretty sure of. Chris Jones, groin injury, did not practice. Isaiah Pacheco, quad shoulder, did not practice. Rashee Rice, wide receiver, hamstring, did not practice. I don't think any of those guys will play on Sunday. Legarius Sneed, out with a calf injury. There's no point in playing Legarius Sneed. Travis Kelce, neck, limited participant practice. Kadarius Toney, hip, ankle, limited participant. Blake Bell, finger. Nick Bolton, wrist, abdomen. There's no point in playing Nick Bolton at all in this game on Sunday. Noah Gray, ribs, full participant. Ankle for Mahomes. Of course, he's not going to play. Trent McDuffie shouldn't play either. Shoulder for the Chiefs, full participant, though. Justin Ross, illness. Donovan Smith, neck, full participant. So, of all those players, well, I guess let's start here. On offense, I think in a perfect world, you don't want Pacheco playing. You don't want Kelce playing. And if he does, you want him to get in and out real quick, get his 16 yards or whatever. Yeah, it's 16. Mahomes, clearly, and he's not going to play. Who else on the offense do you say cannot play? Would Rice with the hamstring, do you just shut him down?
I wouldn't play Rice at all. He's your main target now as a receiver.
Anybody else on offense that you would not play? I think I would go ahead and rest Trey Smith. He's been banged up. I think I would sit Juwan Taylor, Trey Smith, Joe Tooney, and Creed Humphrey if I can.
Any guy that's still healthy right now as a regular starter on the line, if you have somebody in that spot, I would put him in that spot.
Now, Wanya Morris is a rookie who could use the reps at left tackle. I think he'll play, but he has been your starting left tackle. Is Smith going to be ready to go for the playoffs? And are you better with Smith or Morris at left tackle? I don't know.
There's nothing been proven yet on that, I don't think. So.
Not clear.
I think technically with the experience, you want Smith there probably, but he's been making mistakes, and so I don't know. That's a good question on that one.
But experience, been in the playoffs and played on a Super Bowl team, and Morris hasn't been there, and you're going to see different schemes.
I think if Smith is healthy, he's the guy that's going to play there.
I think so, too. I think that's what they've been planning on. Defensively, Bolton, to me, needs a sit. I would argue Bolton and Gay both shouldn't play. I would even argue Tranquil shouldn't play. Those guys are so important, but Tranquil might play. But definitely Bolton and Gay shouldn't play. I would say Snead and McDuffie shouldn't play. Of course, Chris Jones shouldn't play. Anybody else?
I don't think I'd play Karlaftis.
Yeah.
If we're benching all these other guys, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. Karlaftis.
Yeah, you said Snead and McDuffie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, defensive backfield, I guess. I don't know that there's anybody else that I'm...
Brian Cook's out, so...
Yeah, 100% saying no, because, you know, at some point you do run out of guys.
Right.
So some of them will have to play that you probably don't want to play.
Right. So we already see that Baltimore's going to rest Lamar Jackson, which is, you know, a no-brainer. So the Chiefs will obviously be watered down Sunday at 2 o'clock, which you can hear on Z96.3 Lake against the Chargers, and that's perfectly fine by me.
The game reps for other guys, too, right? Like, even on defense, Felix Anidika is out. We haven't seen a lot of him this year to see what maybe he could do on defense and getting some reps. So
Jamari Connor at safety.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that have an opportunity here to see what they can do and actually get some time.
No, I agree with you. The K-State kid might even play a little secondary. He's been a special teams player.
Yeah, he might
play a little bit and get some experience, so... Yeah, the Pro Bowl selections were announced, which, you know, listen, you don't want to be you don't want to play in the Pro Bowl games because that means you didn't make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But there are some interesting things. The Chiefs Pro Bowl selections include center Creed Humphrey, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes is the third string quarterback, believe it or not, and Joe Tooney was selected. Those are the five Pro Bowlers. The Niners had the most with 9, which makes sense. They were the best team in football, at least most of the year. Ravens have quite a few. The Cowboys have quite a few. But these other guys are listed as alternates, so they haven't made the Pro Bowl yet. But if there's anybody that sits out because they made the Super Bowl or injury or don't want to play, then they'll slide in. And Nick Bolton is an alternate, Willie Gay, Isaiah Pacheco, Trey Smith. But the one that really stands out to me, and by the way, Harrison Butker should be there too.
Yeah.
But anyway, Legarius Sneed is the one that stands out to me. The Pro Bowl is a joke, just like any of these All-Star games are a joke for the most part, because it's popularity and it's name recognition. I mean, there's been a few years where I'm like, is Chris Jones really better than... been a few years. You know, Kelce's been that guy most of the time. I don't know if Kelce should be there this year or not. I mean, probably, because Mark Andrews got hurt, but, you know, there's only so many tight ends that are really, really good. But there's lots of wide receivers, okay? And so there's tons of wide receivers that are snubbed on this team because there's tons of guys that get over 1,000 yards receiving. Jalen Ramsey was selected for the Pro Bowl. He played in 9 games this year for the Dolphins. Legarius Sneed didn't get a Pro Bowl selection, and you could argue he's the best corner in the league, and the guys he shut down, and he played all year long. And Kurt Siebold, my good friend there at 810WHB in Kansas City, says Jalen Ramsey played 9 games this year. He gets the Pro Bowl nod over Legarius Sneed, an embarrassment. I would agree. Yes. Like, who are making these selections? Because I'm sitting here going, have you not watched every single Chiefs game? And they talk about Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed. Those are the two guys that talk about on defense. I mean, Sneed has been absolutely unbelievable. He shut down Ja'Marr Chase, who likes to yap a lot. 3 catches, 41 yards, shut down Davante Adams. He shut down the other team's best receiver multiple times this year. Ja'Marr Chase, let's see, McDuffie and him helped out against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. A.J. Brown didn't do nothing against him. I mean, it's some of the best receivers in the league. Yeah. Justin Jefferson didn't do anything against him. I mean, I could go on and on. I think he had Calvin Ridley early in the year. DJ Moore. I mean, there's a lot of receivers this guy has guarded and defended and done an unbelievable job. How is it not a Pro Bowler?
I can't answer the question other than what you already said. It's a popularity contest, and you know, some of these guys, I think it's default sometimes to put those guys in. Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. I think it's default. Like, it's like these guys played, and they played well when they had the chance, and so they're a Pro Bowler.
Think about this for a second. These are all names that have been in the Pro Bowl before. Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs, what's their best unit?
Defense.
By far. 4 of the 5 Pro Bowl selections are offensive players.
Exactly.
Which means that people aren't paying attention.
Uh-huh.
That's as simple as that. You're not paying attention. If they were the one seed like the Ravens, they'd probably get a couple more guys maybe that are in the Pro Bowl. But it's laziness when you're putting Jalen Ramsey, who's barely played half a season, above a guy that's absolutely shut down some of the best receivers in the league week in and week out. It is amazing to me, however this is figured out, and whoever votes on this really truly isn't doing their homework. And this goes back to the, you know, how is Aoka Lee not a top 25 college women's basketball player? These are people that are throwing stuff out there, but those are people that just throw stuff on social media. This is actual Pro Bowl rosters and Pro Bowl games, which I know the Pro Bowl games, you know, whatever. I don't think it was that big a deal last year. The Pro Bowl became a joke anyway. It was like touch football, so forth and so on. But it's just recognition of being the best at what you do. That's why it matters. Otherwise, the actual event, it's fun. They can chill out, do whatever, get to hang out with other people. And by the way, LeJarius Sneed will probably be in the Pro Bowl anyway, unless the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, of course. So, but still, I just like, how in the world do you put a guy that I've seen at local all-league teams where there was a kid one time played in 3 football games and was second-string quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm like, and the other kid that was third string played all year long. And he, I mean, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, just giving an honorary, oh, hey, he got hurt. Here's an honorary all league selection. I thought it mattered on what you did on the field, but the kid was a name and, you know, had a good year the year before. And so he got on there. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice acknowledgement. But if I were him, I'd be a little embarrassed by it.
Yeah. Some of that stuff does get a little bit aggravating. Also, like, are there kickers picked for this thing? Because I'm like, how is Harrison Butker not?
Actually, there might. Let me see. I'm going to
because I'm thinking
up.
Like maybe they just don't pick kickers anymore.
No, they do.
But it's like would think they would. Because
they do. The Aubrey really guy matters. For Dallas hasn't missed one all year, so he deserves to be there.
Yeah, for sure.
Justin Tucker is ahead of Butker. Honestly, I think Butker's had a better year than Tucker.
I would think so too. I mean, he's missed one kick this year, so I don't know if Justin Tucker's made all of his or missed only one, but. It's interesting to me.
Yeah,
and
it
Justin
is.
Tucker would be a name too, right? One of the best to ever do it. And so, hey, kicker, nobody's going to care. Just let Tucker have it.
Baltimore's got the best defense in NFL. The Chiefs are top 5. Baltimore's got both starting inside linebackers, Queen and Smith. So there's no chance for Gay or Bolton, I guess.
Yeah, and so that's why they're both alternates. Yeah.
The outside backers are usually rushers. Josh Allen of Jacksonville, Khalil Mack of the Chargers, T.J. Watt of Pittsburgh. Can't argue against those at all. Miles Garrett, defensive end, like Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson. You know, Karloftis had a pretty good year, but I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is a little bit political. It is popularity. But to me, the biggest one that stands out is Jalen Ramsey. Playing 9 games, it's in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the wide receiver part is so tough because there's so many amazing receivers. You know, the NFC, you got Puka Nacua, who's having a record-setting rookie year. How can he not be All-Pro Bowl? A.J. Brown's unbelievable year. I think he could be MVP candidate. CeeDee Lamb's having an amazing year. Mike Evans quietly has had a great year with Baker Mayfield. But St. Brown from the Lions has had an amazing year, and he's left out. So he got snubbed. You know, Josh Allen didn't get picked, quarterback. You know, for the AFC, there's going to be snubs left and right.
Yeah, for sure.
No matter what. Let's see here. Receivers in the AFC, somehow MBS didn't make it. But Keenan Allen, who's missed games. I don't know if Keenan Allen deserves to be there this year. Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know about him either. He's missed some games. Amari Cooper, yes. Tyreek Hill, yes. I think wide receivers questionable in the AFC a little bit. But I mean, there's now, granted, Cooper and Hill are the starters. But
you're reading all those names, and you start to think there probably is some better receivers in the NFC, right? Like this year, like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you say A.J. Brown or no?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Just like all those kind of guys that you think about. NFC's got some really good ones. And if you're looking at the AFC and the names you listed, it's like it must not have been as challenging in the AFC this year to get that spot.
Well, the NFC, Amon St. Brown of the Lions has 112 catches for 1,371 yards and 9 touchdowns and was not picked. So that is a notable one.
Yeah.
By the way, Michael Pittman this year, I didn't realize the year he's having. 104 catches, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. He's a free agent. That'd be a nice guy for the Chiefs to get.
Yeah.
But probably will cost a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
Who else here? You know, DJ Moore was omitted. That's probably because he's not on a good team. 92 catches, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's worthy of being there, no doubt. Yeah, Rashee Rice is only 72 yards away, or 62 yards away from a 1,000-yard season. But I don't think he'll play Sunday. But no. If you want a milestone, there's one for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, Tyler Lockett, Mr. Dependable Tyler Lockett, 77 catches, 823 yards, and 4 touchdowns. At his age, still going pretty strong. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb has 122 catches this year. I did not realize
that. Yeah, he's been all over the place.
That's amazing. So I would say the noteworthy one is St. Brown that's out. Brandon Ayuk in the Niners has 1,300 yards receiving. He was not picked. I guess Keenan Allen is having a big year. 108 catches for 1,200 yards. So my apologies to Keenan Allen. I just assume he missed half the season.
Well, there's another team that, you know, obviously is underachieving, and so you're probably not focusing too much about what's going on with them.
Right.
For me, anyway.
And Jamar Chase, I thought, had missed a game or two, which he may have, but he has 96 catches for 1,200 yards, so he's worthy. So, yeah, you know, the wide receiver is the tough part. There's no doubt. I think that's the toughest one to figure out. All right, so those are the Chief Pro Bowlers, in case you care. But if you're a Chiefs fan, you really don't want them participating in those games whatsoever so that you're in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Super Bowl's in Vegas this year, right?
Pro Bowl I don't care about. Yes.
Where's the Pro Bowl at? Is it in
Orlando?
It is Orlando again? All right. Yep. Down in Florida? All right. Well, I will not be attending. And I probably won't be watching either.